pain is the inevitable moments of difficulty and discomfort that manifest in our lives when we choose to pursue Jesus. That's a growing pain when you choose to follow Jesus. There are going to be inevitable moments of difficulty. There's going to be those moments of discomfort. In fact, some of those moments are just going to be downright painful when you choose to pursue Jesus. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. I want us to kind of lay that foundation so we're all, again, clear and on the same page. Jesus calls us to follow him, but he calls us to follow him on a road that's far from easy. In fact, Jesus calls us to follow him on a path that's filled with adventure. It's filled with unlimited possibilities, but it's also going to be a road that's filled with uncertainty, and it's going to be a road filled with pain. Anybody that's followed Jesus long enough could sit here and shake, like, yep, that's real. That is real. And see, again, this is where many times people struggle. Because we think the road with Jesus should not be that way. But I want to challenge us with this thought, because it's a challenging thing to me that I have to remind myself on a daily basis. If you want to be a follower of Jesus and you try to seek the easy path or the easy road, you're seeking the wrong road. If your idea of following Jesus is following an easy road, you're seeking the wrong road. In fact, if your faith in Jesus actually is an easy road, I'm going to challenge you that you're probably on the wrong road. Because following Jesus is not an easy path. Why do you think Jesus says there's a wide road that's easy and comfortable? And a lot of people want to stay on that one. But the path that leads to life is narrow, and it takes effort, and it's difficult, and there's going to be pain with it, and it's not smooth sailing. See, the enemy's really good at making us think we're on the wrong road if we're actually going through smooth sailing, or if we're going through pain and it's not smooth sailing. That's when he whispers in our ear and says, man, if Jesus loved you, why would this be happening? Or if Jesus loved you, or if he was for you, why would this difficulty be happening to you? If Jesus was really behind you and you were serving Jesus, why would you face this sickness? Why would you face this difficulty? Why would you be facing this hardship? In fact, I know I've shared this before, but it's still one of my favorite stories of just thinking about the differences of mindsets. John Wesley was a man that was like legitimately hated by many in the church. He was kicked out of most churches. In fact, John Wesley was so hated for what he was preaching. And realize what he was preaching was salvation is by faith alone, through the grace of God. I mean, he was teaching the gospel, and he was hated for it. He was hated for it so much that actually at his father's own church, his father was passed away, but it was at his father's own church, Wesley was actually preaching the gospel message, the radical transformation that had happened in him through the gospel. He's preaching the gospel, and the congregants got so mad at him, they chased him out of the church because they were trying to pretty much lynch him. And Wesley runs out. Now, this is back in the day where, you know, the church had their cemeteries. Wesley runs outside and actually jumps up on the headstone of his father, because by English law, now he's on private property. They can't touch him. And Wesley kept preaching. Wesley was so despised that he would have constantly people hating him, throwing things at him. There was a moment in his journal. And again, I know I've shared this, so if you've heard this before, I apologize, but it's just such a great story of the difference of mindset. Wesley wrote in his own journal, God gave him 3 days of peace. Meaning, nobody threw nothing at him, nobody yelled at him, nobody tried to beat him up, nobody hit him, nobody, nothing. 3 days of peace. And Wesley's journal, he wrote, God, what did I do to make you angry with me? Because he had 3 days of peace. Because his mindset was, man, following Jesus is not easy. And it just shows you a different of mindset of what we see in our world today. Even I wrestle with this, that when hard times come, my first reaction is, God, what did I do to make you angry? Instead of realizing Jesus saying, listen, David, you're not above me. Life was hard for me. Why do you think it's going to be easy for you? And so that's where we're talking about growing pains. Jesus never promised us an easy road. In fact, Jesus warns us the complete opposite. If Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have difficulties. Paul even goes and says, listen, the closer we get to the return of Jesus. Paul warns Timothy of this. He says, the closer we get to the end times, when we get to the end, the last days, he says, the times are going to be difficult. And that's not an argument of saying like we're in the last days. What I want you to understand is every day that passes, we're closer to the last days. I mean, so it's just going to keep getting more difficult. But the enemy, again, wants us to focus on smooth sailing and not realize that there's going to be pains. There's going to be growing pains. Again, God never promised the road would be easy, but you know what he did promise? It's worth it. That's what Jesus promised. He never promised easy, but he says the road is worth it. And he also promised something else. The road is worth it, and I will always be with you. Those are the two promises that we have as followers of Jesus that we need to hold on to the most, is that the road is worth it, and Jesus is always with us. On a personal encouragement that I want to share with you, this was such an encouragement to me this week as I was working on this and reading and researching and just kind of processing this. I came across one statement that just really, I had to stop and just let it sink in. And I want to share it with you because it was such an encouragement to me when it comes to the fact that Jesus is always with us on this road. This is what the individual wrote. They said, there is never a moment that I ever have to shout across the empty space to an absent God. He says, because my God is nearer to me than my own soul. He's closer to me than my most secret thought. And I just had to pause and think about that for a while. When you think about Jesus' promise that I am always with you, and the road that you're on is worth it, and I'm right by your side every step of the way, the reality that he is nearer to you than your very own soul. That you take your most deepest secret thought, and Jesus is even closer than that. The intimacy that God offers to us through Jesus Christ is amazing. But I want us to realize that as our foundation this morning. The road following Jesus comes with pain. It comes with growing pains. But it's worth it. And he's with us. Now here's the mind shift. The belief shift that I want us to focus on. Last week again, break camp in advance because he's calling us to move on. He's not calling us to sit still. That's where it starts. Jesus doesn't want us to just camp out and wait. We have a calling to move forward, not only as individuals, but as a church. We never set back. We always have someplace Jesus is leading us and a place that Jesus is taking us. That's number one. The second is this, the mind shift that we need to have is growing pains are good for us. Right? These growing pains that we have to go through are actually good for us. See, again, the enemy many times wants us to focus on the difficulties and the discomforts and think that that's against what God wants for us or it's against what God's plan is for us. But I want us to see this morning that many times, in fact, most times I believe that the growing pains we have to go through as we pursue Jesus are actually the very thing that God wants for us because it's through them that he's actually transforming us and creating us into the people he wants us to be. But the issue is, we spend more of our time, if we don't have this mindset, trying to avoid the growing pains than allowing God to accomplish what he wants to accomplish through them. And that's the challenge I think God is speaking to the Israelites as they're preparing. So the passage I want us to consider is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 and 33. This is what God says to them, or Moses says to them as God speaks to them. He gives them this warning. He says, "So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess." Notice the promise. The promise of God here. The promise is that I'm taking you to a place where you're going to live and where you're going to prosper. I have a promise for you to prolong you in the days. So this is the same promise to us as Christians, that God has a plan for us. He has a purpose. He's directing us somewhere. He's leading us somewhere. And it's into his promises. But notice the requirement. Be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. And then notice what he says. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Here's why this is so significant. See, Israel had a problem up to this point. And sadly, they had the same problem moving forward because they never changed their thinking, even though God attempted to change their thinking. See, Israel had a problem when it came to growing pains. Because whenever they came to a difficult situation, when God had them on this path and God was leading them to the promise, whenever they came to a difficult situation or they came to a uncomfortable situation, they never actually faced it moving forward with an attitude of faith and trust. They actually wanted to turn around and run and hide. That's why God is telling them, don't turn to the right or to the left. Stay on the path that I have you on. But every time they came to a roadblock, they wanted to run the other way. Let me give you some examples of this. When God brought them to the Red Sea, he just rescued them from Egypt, something that they never thought would happen. Not only did he rescue them from Egypt, they plundered Egypt. Like, this is what's so cool about the Bible. If you've never taken the time to really read it, not only did God rescue them, they just got done seeing all these plagues pour down by the power of God. They witnessed the power of God through these plagues to the point that when they were finally let go, the Bible says the Egyptians were like just throwing gold at them. Like, they were just filling them up with every prized possession they had. The Egyptians were like, here, take it, go. Go worship your God. And so they plunder them. The first place God brings them is to the Red Sea. Some of you might know it from the Bible. Some of you might know it from Charlton Heston. I don't know. But they got to the Red Sea. Those of you that are too young, it's a great movie. Watch the Ten Commandments. But anyways, they get to the Red Sea. This is the first. So here they're at a growing pain. God had just rescued them. He brought them to a moment. Egypt and the army of Egypt is coming down on them. Pharaoh is going to try to murder all of them. And the first thing that the Israelites do in this moment of pain and discomfort and all of this stuff that's going on, this difficulty, is they turn on Moses and they turn on God and they say, why did he even bother bringing us out here? If he's just going to let us die, what good God is this? He's abandoned us. It's the first thing they did is they wanted to turn around. Why did we leave in the first place was their attitude. But it goes on. God rescues them again to the point that he doesn't just destroy Pharaoh. He splits the Red Sea. They walk through on dry land. Listen, you ever hear these stories and you just think to yourself, what was wrong with these people? The sad part is we probably would have done the same thing. They walk through the Red Sea. God rescues them again. And then all of a sudden, they're out there in the wilderness. They're out there. And the next thing, like, we ain't got no water. Where's the water? God brought us. And again, they start complaining. And they're just like, he abandoned us. Where is this God that rescued us? And they actually started saying things like, let's go back. At least there we'd have water. Again, they had a moment where they had no food. We have no food. He's abandoned us. Let's go back. Moses goes up on the mountain 40 days. He's in the presence of God receiving the covenant. And the first thing they do after a little bit of time has passed is, God's abandoned us. What do we need to do? Let's build a golden calf and let's worship it so we can go back. Notice how they kept wanting to go back to camp? Notice how they didn't break camp? It's always easy to go back. Then they even get to the promised land. They're standing at the promised land and they send in the spies. And 10 of the spies come back and say, we can't do it. 2 of the spies come back and say, are you guys idiots? Have you not paid attention to what God's been doing already? I mean, did you not? We witnessed God rescued us. God just split the Red Sea. God gave us manna from heaven. God's given us a rock. Water came. Like, notice all the things that God did for these people, but yet they still were like, God has abandoned us. Why did we even bother coming? Here's the point of all of this that I wanted you to see from Israel. When we focus more on the difficulty and we focus more on the discomfort, we're taking our eyes off the promise. And that was Israel's problem. They focused more on the growing pain. They focused more on the difficulty in front of them. They focused more on the discomfort in front of them. And when they did that, they take their eyes off the promise. And as soon as you take your eyes off the promise, you're going to end up not growing and advancing because you're going to seek an alternative route that you feel is easier. Does that make sense? When I come against a difficulty, I come against something that's just not comfortable to me, and I don't want to pursue through it, if I don't want to face it, I'm going to try to find an alternative route that I can follow instead. This is why God says, do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Stay on the path that I've put you on. And see, we're the same way. I know I'm the same way. When I come to a difficult situation, it's easy to try to figure out how can I turn to a different direction so I don't have to face it or go through it. In fact, we spend a lot of time in our lives attempting to avoid our growing pains, thinking we're actually protecting ourselves when the reality is we're actually hurting ourselves. God's actually given us an example of this from nature. I'm sure many of you know this, but just so that we're all still, again, on the same foundation and the same page with this, on how difficulty actually matures us, is in nature we see this when you see a caterpillar actually coming out of a cocoon. Do you know if you actually help a caterpillar and it doesn't go through the difficulty of getting out of the cocoon itself, you actually have killed it. In the struggle, if you see it and you feel bad for it and it's struggle and you say, I'm going to help it, you actually will end up killing it because it will not have the strength to be able to become that which God wants it to become. The struggle is there to actually transform it. The pain is there to actually transform it. If you help a caterpillar come out, its wings will never develop. It will have no ability to fly. It will have no ability to actually thrive. And what it eventually will experience is death. Why is this important to us? Is because when we try to avoid the pain in following Jesus, that's actually associated with our growth, we're going to end up harming ourselves instead of helping ourselves. See, the enemy wants us to think that if we avoid the pain of following Jesus, we're actually protecting ourselves, when in reality, we're actually destroying ourselves. And that's why he wants you to avoid the growing pains. That's why he wants the church to avoid the growing pains, because he doesn't want you to become everything God has designed you to be. And that's why we try to avoid these things. In an attempt to actually avoid pain, we rob ourselves of thriving as the people of God that he's called us to. Imagine the mind shift, just for a second. Imagine what would happen if we started seeing things in a different way. What if we started seeing the obstacles that come against us as actually opportunities? What if we started seeing the roadblocks that come against us actually as triumphs? What if we started seeing the mountains that come against us that we feel like are unable to climb? There's no way I could overcome this. And we actually see them as achievements. What if we actually started seeing the adversaries that come against us? Think about this just for a moment, because all of us probably have somebody at some point in life, or we will, an adversary, an opponent that's going to come against us, somebody that stands in our way. What if we started seeing them, instead of adversaries, we see them as people that God has placed in our lives as actually assistants to help us advance in our faith? See, again, not to get political, but it's like right now we have this time where we're, you know, all the political stuff that's going on, and as Christians we get this, you know, the sky is falling mentality sometimes, and we see all these people that are against us. What if we stopped that just for a moment and said, Jesus, I'm going to start seeing this as an opportunity to actually advance in my faith and my proclamation of you, instead of seeing it as this unbelievable, insurmountable. What if we as the church started seeing things as the stuff that comes against us, we say, Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to show how awesome you are. What if our mind shift happened where we stop seeing the growing pains as actually opportunities to become more of what God wants us to be? Again, this is not looking at us through the lens of self. It's not about us to say, I can do anything. You know, like, it's not about puffing ourselves up. Because again, there's going to be moments where that mountain is going to be so much greater than us. So it's not about pumping us up. It's about us focusing on the no limits of our God. Lord, that obstacle is so much greater than I am. But it's nothing for you. Lord, that adversary is too much for me to handle. But Lord, it's nothing for you. Lord, this obstacle that's in front of me and I don't know what to do about it is so much greater than me, but it's nothing to you. Focusing again as not seeing them as something that's coming against us, but something that God is using to mature us and bless us. Can we not see that same thing through the life of Joseph? Those that know the story, Joseph in the book of Genesis, where he's sold by his brothers, he's put into slavery, he's put into prison, falsely accused, put into prison, left to rot in prison, but yet God redeems him and God uses him to save a nation. And then what is Joseph's attitude? What you meant for evil, God used for good. Do you see the mindset towards growing pains in Joseph? Yeah, you meant for that to destroy me. God used that to form me. God used that to prepare me. God used that to transform me into the person he wanted me to be. So, I want to give us just a few growing pains that we should not avoid as Christians. Because again, we could all kind of think about this in this very large scheme of things, but I want to give us tangible. What are some growing pains that we all have to go through, but we should not avoid them, but we should actually see them as something used by God to make us into the people he wants us to be? So here's the first one. Don't avoid the growing pain of your sanctification. And I'm going to explain this, but don't avoid the growing pain of your sanctification, or for those that might not understand the word, of your transformation, of God's work in you to make you more like Jesus. When you got saved, that wasn't just your ticket to go to heaven. Now you're in a lifelong process of God working in you and transforming you and conforming you to the image of Jesus. Every day we're called to become more like Jesus. But can we all be honest with one another? Sanctification is not a pleasant thing. Sanctification is not a fun thing. Actually, it can be very difficult and it can become very painful. And God's clear about that. If you look at Scripture, notice the language that God uses when he speaks of sanctification. He talks about it many, many times in Scripture as being refined by fire. That don't sound very pleasant. Being refined by the fire of God. as God is burning the impurities out of us. Listen, that don't sound fun all the time. In fact, in Scripture, it also talks about sanctification like we are clay in the hands of the potter. Now, doesn't that sound so beautiful and wonderful? You ever watched a potter actually make a pot? It's not all that pleasant. You know why? Because they'll start forming it and shaping it. And then all of a sudden, as they're forming it and shaping it, their fingers will feel an imperfection. There might be a chunk of clay that's a little too hard, or there's something in the clay that shouldn't be there. And many times, a potter, because the clay or the imperfection so much in the clay, what they'll end up doing is they're shaping their pot, they'll stop, and then they'll dig into the pot to rip out what shouldn't be there, and then they'll smash the pot back down, the clay back down, and they start over, forming the pot. Right? I think if some of us were honest with ourselves and we really had time to share, some of us would be like, yep, I've been that clay that Jesus is like smacked down before. I felt that way before. And it's not pleasant. And sometimes because sanctification is not pleasant, we avoid it. Do you know I believe that most Christians are weak because they spend all their time fighting against God as he's trying to sanctify them? And that's why we never advance in our relationship with Jesus, because we're fighting against him instead of yielding to him. Let me give you, again, some of the places of sanctification. Where do we attempt to avoid this discomfort or this pain or these difficulties that might come up in our lives? Well, first is, how often do we avoid dealing with our sin? I mean, some of you might be better than I, but I've avoided my sin so much in my life. Where God is saying, David, we need to deal with this, but I want to avoid it. So many times we spend our time, again, trying to hide it or protect it or dismiss it because we don't want to face the discomfort of having to face it. Lord, I don't want to have to confess that that's actually in my life. I don't have to be humble before you. I don't want to give it up because, Lord, that just seems too difficult and too painful. Lord, if I do that and if I give that up, imagine the ramifications that I might have to face and the difficulties that I have to go through. I don't want to go through that. And we fight against our own sanctification. We fight against this growing pain of Jesus trying to make us more like him. Another way we fight against our sanctification is we fight against him when it comes to the discomfort or the difficulty of having to face maybe our false beliefs or our false assumptions or our false conclusions. What I mean by that is we all grow up forming different beliefs, and then all of a sudden God comes along and says, yeah, you know, you think you this is what you think, but this is the truth. And now we have to face the difficulty of setting aside maybe something that we've always believed or something that we've always trusted in or something we've always said is true. And God says, that's not true. Now you either conform yourself to me or you keep walking in your wrong belief. Or you walk in your wrong assumption, or you walk in your wrong conclusion. Many times it's just easier for us to follow the wrong beliefs because we also say to ourselves, but Lord, if I really stood on that belief, man, do you know the ramifications I would have to face in the world? Do you know what I'd have to go through if I actually stood on that belief, Lord? Do you know how people would come against me? Lord, I might even lose my job. Jesus, you want me to lose my job? You would never want that. Lord, if I stood on that belief and if I changed my belief to actually conform to you, Jesus, then that might cause division in my family. Jesus, you would never want division in my family. But Jesus is the one that said flat out, again, this is going back to Scripture. Jesus says, I did not come to bring peace. I've actually come to cause division. Daughter against mother, son against father. Daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. I mean, he just lays it out. He says, that's a growing pain we might have to go through. It was interesting when you think about this from a church standpoint. Just, I think it was yesterday, actually, Malia sends me a text of a church that she wanted me to look at. I looked at it, and it's a church that calls itself a church, but it doesn't even come close to following Jesus. And I remember one of the things she said back is like, how would any church do this? And I'm like, because they don't want to have to face the pain of actually standing up for what Jesus says. Because they'd rather be loved by the world than stand with Jesus. And that's part of our growing pain. Sometimes we fight against the sanctification of standing with Jesus because we don't want to go through the pain that we're going to have to go through if we stand against the world. And then here's the last one we think about our sanctification. We fight against Jesus because Jesus will come in and he will actually try to transform our priorities. And we fight against him when it comes to that. I've shared this, I know I've shared, so if you've heard this, but this is one of the things that I love about my wife is while I know the importance of giving to God and surrendering to God, especially when it comes to finances, I know what I'm like. I make the budget, Amy pays it all. The reason why is because I'm the guy that the enemy's really good, and it's all confesses as a pastor. I'm the guy that all of a sudden if something happens and it's like, man, we got to pay for that. Man, it'd be really, my priority is me first, God last, right? But God comes in and he challenges our priorities. Our priorities of where do we give our finances? Where do we give our time? Where do we give our effort? What's the priorities of our life? Jesus wants to sanctify us in that. He wants to transform us in that. But many times we avoid it because we know it's too painful. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. So we avoid it. So one of the growing pains we can't avoid, the difficulties we can't avoid our sanctification. Either we truly surrender to Jesus or we fight against him. Those are the choices. And again, don't get me wrong, part of the sanctification is surrendering to Jesus because it's hard. It's difficult. It's uncomfortable. But it's what we're called to. The second growing pain, so first is our sanctification. The second one I want you to consider just for a moment is we fight against the unknown and the unfamiliar. When we were on vacation, I had this great idea where I wanted to surprise the girls with something that we were going to go do. And they knew we were going to go do something and they had no idea what it was. Can I tell you, for 3 days, I was annoyed every single day, every single moment of every single day, because all I got for 3 days is, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? I got so annoyed with it. I just wanted to blow up and be like, we're not going. Right? Because for some reason, we as humans have a real hard time when it comes to the unknown. Right? God says, follow me, and we say, cool, where are we going? And Jesus is like, just follow me. Yeah, where are we going? And then we try to be really sneaky about it, because they tried this too, okay? Where are we going? I'm not telling you. What do I need to wear? Right? Like, kind of outfit we thinking here, you know? What kind of shoes do I need to have? We fish for the answers. But if we look at Scripture, what we find very interesting is, do you notice how often God called people to follow him, and he never gave them any more information than, trust me? Think about this. Abraham, leave the land that you know, and I will show you a land. And? Are we going east, west, north, south? Where are we going? Like, I can just picture when Abraham went to his wife. Honey, we're leaving. Where are we going? I don't know. When are we going to get there? I don't know. What do I need to bring? I don't know. I mean, my wife would have said, do you ask no questions? And my answer would be, no. God just said go, right? But God doesn't give details. Think about this. I already mentioned Joseph. Here's Joseph, who's a slave and a prisoner. But God keeps telling him, I have a purpose for you. He showed him in dreams, I have a purpose for you. I'm going to use you. But he gave him no more information. Moses calls Moses while he's out watching some sheep. Hey, Moses, go lead my people. That's all he gets. Lead my people. Where? You'll find out. How do I do it? You'll find out. Just trust me and go. David, again, just kicking back, watching some sheep. All of a sudden, he finds out, you're the next king. He has to go for years with the king trying to kill him. But here's David. Trust me. You going to give me some more information, or you just, no. I'll give you what you need, and that's it, and the rest is unknown. The disciples, for goodness sake. Here's the disciples. Jesus comes, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Nothing else. I mean, there was no question. There was no, you know, if it would have been me, I would have been like, okay, that's cool. Like, how long is the training program? Right? We're talking a year, 2 years, 3 years. Like, again, where are we going to do this at, Jesus? Jesus didn't say, just follow me. Do you notice how Jesus is constantly calling us to trust him and to enter into the unknown? But many of us will never follow Jesus the way he wants us to because our greatest fear is to enter into something that is unknown. It's actually kind of funny, as I was preparing this. This is when you know you have children, small children, or, you know, like they're growing, but you had small children, because Frozen popped into my head. Frozen 2, actually. Frozen 2 actually has a song that's Into the Unknown. One of the statements, one of the lyrics actually just struck me, because one of the lyrics is this: I'm afraid of what I'm risking if I follow you into the unknown. Do you know how many of us as Christians could actually say the exact same thing to Jesus? Jesus, I'm afraid of what I'm risking if I really follow you into the unknown. One of the greatest growing pains that I think holds most of us back as Christians is not just like fighting against our sanctification. It's trusting Jesus to follow him into the unknown and the unfamiliar. Just trusting him. Isaiah 42 actually says this. God says this to the prophet. He says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. That's true of us as followers of Jesus. Jesus is saying, I'm gonna lead you in paths that you don't know, that you're not comfortable with, that are unfamiliar to you. As an individual, just stop for a moment and just consider this. What are some of the things where Jesus has been asking you, trust me? Maybe it's trusting him with some aspect of your life. Trust him with your health. Trust him with your family. Trust him. And you want all the answers, but Jesus says, don't. Just trust me. Maybe God has been calling you into stepping into some kind of ministry or some kind of like new thing that he wants to use you with. And you're like, well, Jesus, you got to give me all the details. And he's just saying, no, just trust me. But God, I don't feel, that's painful. That's uncomfortable. I don't like it. That's difficult. And he says, I don't care. Trust me. Isn't it interesting that that's Jesus' response to us? I don't like it, Jesus. I don't care. Trust me. You got to give me more information. No, I don't. Trust me. That's all Jesus asks of us when it comes to the growing pain of the unknown. Trust me. How about as a church? Even think about this as a church. Have you ever been in those moments, and maybe you felt this or you've heard this, where a church is considering entering into the unknown that they've never done before, and that's what somebody says? Wait a minute, we can't do that. We've never done that before. That's not familiar to us. We can't enter into the familiar. If you think about it, that's all God ever does, is he calls us to enter into the unfamiliar. He asks us to enter into the unknown. Trust me. The first core value that we have as a church is we are running to keep up with Jesus, meaning we will follow him wherever he leads us, even if it's unknown or unfamiliar to us. Before I get to the last one, I want to share you a quote with A.W. Tozer. Tozer said this: the reason many Christians are still troubled, the reason many Christians are still seeking, the reason many Christians are still making little progress forward is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We are still trying to give orders to God, and we're still trying to interfere with his work. Jesus says, trust me. And we say, no. Not unless you give me more. This is one of the growing pains we can't avoid because he just asks us to trust him. Here's the last one, and then we'll close this up. The last growing pain I think as Christians we can't avoid is conflict and opposition. So here's what I mean by this one. Conflict and opposition. Do you ever notice that in the church, one of the easiest things for people to do in our world today is when conflict and opposition happens in the church or us as Christians, all we do is just wipe our hands and run away? instead of facing the growing pain of actually having to face it? Like sometimes having hard conversations with one another, actually having to face the conflict, actually having to face the opposition. One of the things as Christians we have to be willing to do is to enter into the growing pain of loving one another. You ever notice how it's really easy to just cut bait and run when it comes to people as soon as you have conflict with them or an opposition with them? But those are many times the thing that God puts us in our path to actually make us grow the most. I'm just going to share one story with this that I've learned in my own life, and then we'll close this out. When we were in Missouri and I was becoming the pastor, now, if this happened here, hey, I don't know if it did, but if it did, let me know, because I would actually find it kind of funny and ironic. But when I was preparing to become the pastor down there, they had put my name forward and the vote had happened, and I was just waiting to be appointed because of the way we did it. I was waiting to be appointed even while we were down there. And I found out there was this couple that was against us. They hated us, right? Just did not like us at all. And I found out they were having secret meetings with people in the church trying to like rally them together to vote us out. This was like before we were even in, right? And so it was really funny how it happened, because we were at Walmart one night and Amy and I ran into one of the individuals, not the couple, but we ran into one of the individuals. I was like, hey, what are you guys up to tonight? He's like, we're going to the meeting. I'm like, what meeting? The meeting about you. And then it was hilarious because he goes, I probably shouldn't have said that. Right? So we had a lot of conflict with this couple. Not just that, there was a whole lot more. I'm just giving you one little sliver of it. We had a lot of conflict, and it was hard. It was so hard. And I had so much anger and hatred towards them. And it actually held me back for about a year and a half. And God, for a year and a half, was like, David, you got to deal with it. You got to face it. You got to deal with it. You got to face it. And I kept saying, I don't want to deal with it and face it, because they're not worthy of me facing this conflict and opposition. Until finally, God got through to me enough that I dealt with it and I faced it. Can I tell you something? It was like my relationship with Jesus went pfft. Because it was a growing pain that God put in front of me that I wanted to avoid. But it was the very thing I had to go through to get me to the place where God wanted me to be. And see, that's the same thing for us. Is there might be some of us here that we have conflict and we have opposition and we've been avoiding it. But we have to realize that that might be the very thing that God needs you to go through in order to advance to the next level. Especially as a church. As a church, we always need to be the type of people that are honest with one another, even when it hurts. Even when the conversation is difficult, we still have to be willing to face the conflict and opposition. Because the very thing we're running away from is the thing that God actually wants to use to allow us to grow in our relationship with Him, with one another. So here's the thing. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up as we close. I want to just end with this. Growing pains are always going to be in our lives. You're always going to go through them. But growing pains are going to do one of two things. Growing pains are either going to mature you, or they're going to redirect you. They're either going to mature you and bring you closer to Jesus, or they're going to turn you away from Jesus. They're going to redirect you. That's why God told the people of Israel, don't turn to the right or to the left. When you come to a difficulty, go through it. So there's always going to be growing pains, but they're either going to grow you or they're going to redirect you. I want you to realize as we close in worship that God allows the difficulties, God allows the discomforts in our lives because He knows that they are what we need to become who He has created us to be. Don't avoid the hard stuff, because the hard stuff is used by God. This is the last quote that encouraged me, and then I'm going to say this and then we're going to be done with and we'll sing. But it simply said this: as Christians, let us not seek the path of easy. Instead, as Christians, let us walk the path that when we reach the end of it, we will say the only reason I am here is because Jesus walked it with me. Imagine that testimony when you stand in heaven. The only reason I'm here is not because I sought the easy, but because Jesus walked with me. Lord Jesus, as we spend this time in worship and then preparing our hearts for communion, may we just simply trust in You. Lord, may we trust in you, Lord. I don't know the difficulties that anyone is facing. I don't know the difficulties of anyone's life, really, past or even present. But again, give us the realization that there are two promises that you give us. The promises of it's worth it and that you're with us. Lord, as we close in worship, let us give you praise that you are always faithful to us. You are with us. Lord, we can trust in you. We can rely on you. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, allow us to turn our focus not on the pain, but let us focus on the growth. Lord, these are growing pains. Again, the pain, those come and go, but the growth is what's most important. So Lord, let us fix our eyes on you as we worship. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In your name, amen.